Okay, so we are in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes Zion. Rabbi Schwartz, you have a choice of either one of these. And Shmuel Hanavi has been sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to anoint a son of Yishai. We learned last week, Shmuel was a bit nervous about it. We talked about Hashem gave him a strategy. We talked about that. And we got up to about Pasuk Vav. So in Pasuk Hey, basically Shmuel tells the sons of Yishai to prepare themselves. He doesn't seem to know yet who he's going to be anointing. He just knows that it's one of the sons of Yishai. In Pasuk Aleph, Hashem said, "Go, I'm going to send you to Yishai in Beis Lechem, ki ra'isi bevanav li melech, because I saw amongst his sons a king for me." But he didn't say which of the sons. So he knows it's one of Yishai's sons. He doesn't know who. So let's see from Pasuk Vav. Vayehi bivoam, vayar es Eliyav, and it was when they came, and he saw Shmuel Hanavi saw Eliyav, vayomer, and he said, ach neged Hashem mishicho. He said, ach, behold, or neged Hashem mishicho, before Hashem is his savior. Seemingly, pashpshat, he's saying, this is the guy. Eliyav is the one who's going to be the next king. What did he see in Eliyav that he thought that he should be the king? So we have a difference among the Mefarshim. Well, the ones who learned that he was saying that he should be, that this must be the right one, right, Rashi just says, Zehagun Lamalchus, there was something about him that he thought he's fit for being the king. Seemingly, he had the physical stature of someone who's fit to be the king. Doesn't say. I believe the Radak says that he saw that, first of all, this was the eldest. He was the Bechar. So he thought that it made sense that he should be the one of Yishai's sons to be selected. But not only that, but he was Yafe Tzura V'koma. He was handsome and tall, just like Shaul. And it reminded Shmuel of Shaul, and Shaul was fit to be the king, apparently. So this is Shmuel made the assumption Hashem chooses men who look, you know, tall and strong, and that way their mora, their fear, will be upon the people. And it makes sense. If you know, obviously the way that a person looks affects a person's perception of them. And so Shmuel Hanavi assumed that Eliyav, who had the good looks and the strength of Shaul, would be the king. The response was, Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, and Hashem said to Shmuel, Al tabet el marehu vel gova givoa komaso. Don't stare upon his visage, his appearance, and upon his height. Kimastiu, for I have despised him. I do not want this Eliyav to be the king. Ki lo asher yireh ha'adam, because I don't see the same way that a man sees. Ki ha'adam yireh la'inayim, because a person only sees with their eyes. Vashem yireh lalevav, and Hashem sees into the hearts of people. And apparently, Eliyav was not fit to be the king. So, what was it about him that made him not fit? So Rashi says, Lefisha Kasanu. Rashi says because he got angry easily. And he quotes from a pasuk later, Vayicharaf Eliyav b'David, that Eliyav got very angry with David. We see that he had an angerish problem, and that made him unfit to be the king. Anger, of course, comes from gaiva, arrogance. That's why we are makbir on things, because we think we deserve better, and it's not right to someone like me. And that's what usually, gaiva's really the source of most, if not all averus, but anger, certainly. So that was not even though we know that Shaul maybe had too much humility, but Eliyav seemingly had too much anger, which comes from gaiva. The Gemara in Psachim points out the following. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Mani ben Patish, Kol Adam shekoes, any person who gets angry, Afilu poskin lo gedula min hashamayim, even if he is destined for greatness, min hashamayim, from the heavens, Maridin oso, he loses it because of his anger. Minalan, where do we learn it from? The Gemara says, May Eliyav, we learn it from him, from Eliyav. Because it says, Vayicharaf Eliyav b'David, Eliyav got angry at David later. And we see that when Shmuel went to anoint him, says the Gemara, we're going to see he's going to go through all the other sons, and for each of them, the Navi is going to use the language, Lo Bachar Hashem b'zeh. Hashem didn't choose this one. But for Eliyav, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say Hashem didn't choose him. It says Hashem is rejecting him, right? So the Gemara is medayik. The Gemara infers that what it means is that he did choose him. Hashem did choose Eliyav, but because he had this midah, which came out, so then he lost his chance to be the melech. That's what the Gemara says. By the other ones, it says, Lo bazeh bachar Hashem. The other one says, Hashem didn't choose them. But by Eliyav, it says, Kimast you, for I rejected him. Michal, we can be medayik, says the Gemara, we can infer, Dehava rachim lei ata idna, that up until now, Hashem had mercy on him, had basically he had love for him, he did like him, and it was at this point that he was rejected. A fascinating idea. It's amazing to think about that we had someone, according to this Gemara, David HaMelech was not originally destined to be. It runs into a lot of questions,
yeah,
certainly.
Fitted the whole thing there
with Adam Arishon, yeah. It's going to run into a lot of questions, but that's what this Gemara seems to say. Now, the major question, besides for the, just with Mineu Bei, just within this Gemara itself, is at what point did all this happen? Because Hashem seemingly at this moment planned to anoint him, and then changed his mind. Why? Because he got angry. When did he get angry? It's not yet. It's later, right? It's later on. So we can ask either Mimanafshach, right? Either way, if Hashem knows what's going to happen, so if because he's going to get angry and he has that midah of anger, he's not fit for Malchus, so then what does it mean Hashem originally was going to anoint him and then change his mind because he had that midah of anger? And if he didn't, and if we're not, right, we say that Hashem normally judges Basher Usham, where a person is. So if we're not going to look at what's going to happen in the future, I mean, that's Stama question. What about Basher Usham, that we judge people at, where they are right now?
Stama, he had that midah of anger, and this came out that way, later on, but he had the midah of anger before.
Right, so then why then did Hashem, why was he originally going to be the king, and then was rejected? Meaning, seemingly the other brothers were never fit, because they had midos or whatever it was that they weren't fit to be the king. Here, there seemed to have been a change that occurred.
That they got worse, so the different madrigas of the cats, and that was just the start of the camel's back.
Right. Okay. Good. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says something like that, very. He's pointing out it's very dacristic, very
it's silly to think that Hashem knew that he was going to have this.
Okay, but until that emerges in some way in the person's thing, Hashem doesn't judge him. So that's what Chaim Shmuel Levitt said. It must have been that at this moment there was some netia, some leaning towards anger that had emerged at this point, even though it didn't actually...
Even before Shmuel said something?
Even before, just at this particular, around this particular time.
He thought, came to annoy me.
Right. Okay, that could be. It could be that
Shmuel hasn't rejected him yet, so why would he be angry?
It would make sense that it has to do with what's going on right now. But that's what he says. He says there was some deep down inside of him, a netia, a leaning towards anger that emerged. And even though it didn't actualize itself, but on that already having that netia in a person's heart, having that blemish on a person could be judged for.
So he's saying that he saw Shmuel and then got angry? Or is there a trace of anger
there? He doesn't explain what it was that brought it about, but he's making the point that I didn't read through the whole sicha, but it's in Sichos Musar. But he's making the point that there are, we have, what's the word? Certain, deep down inside of us,
characteristics,
the tovo, the ra, that they're waiting. They're waiting there to emerge. Right. No. So this had to have developed at this point.
Right.
And so you're right. So then you can try to come up with why. But
there are people named Aliyev. I heard the name people named Aliyev.
Uh-huh. Chora, he's being judged.
Just because he's not at the beginning doesn't mean he's not a good guy.
Right, exactly. He got angry once, but that's enough to not to be king. But for us, still he could still be a tzaddik. Okay. Now that's the Gemara's understanding of this series of psukim. That's the Pasha Pshat. The Malbim has a totally different reading of these two psukim. The Malbim says in Pasuk Vav that when Shmuel HaNavi saw Eliyav by Yomer Ach Nege Hashem Meshicho, so the Malbim learns that he saw Eliyav and he immediately knew that this is not the right guy for the kingship. A, because Hashem didn't tell him to anoint him, so he understood he's not desired. Well, that's what he says the reason was. Hashem didn't say to anoint him. Shmuel knew this was not the king. Now, why was he not the king? So that's Shmuel making an assumption. Shmuel thought, explains the Malbim, that it was because Eliyav was not tall like Shaul and not handsome and not didn't have the physical characteristics of Shaul, and Shmuel thought that Hashem isn't choosing him because of that. Hashem doesn't choose someone who doesn't have, you can't be king unless you are tall and strong. And therefore, Shmuel thought, I guess that's it. Game over. There's nobody at the moment who's fit to be king like Shaul. I don't know, it's hard to understand exactly what he was thinking, according to this, because he knew he was sent here to find the king, but...
Hashem sent him to him, so...
But that's, he says... He says that's what he was saying, ach, negeg Hashem Meshicho, he was talking about Shaul, he was saying that there's still hope for Shaul now. Remember last week we had a pasuk that Hashem rebuked Shmuel. He said, "Ad masayata misabel el Shaul." For how long are you going to be mourning over Shaul? Vanima asked if I've rejected him. And here, according to the Malbim, Shmuel is circling back again, and he's saying, "Oh, if Eliyav is not fit, if Hashem's not telling me to anoint him, must be because there's nobody fit to take over for Shaul. You have to be, Shaul, we said, was a head taller than everybody in Klal Yisrael. And he says there's nobody who can stand up to that. And therefore, he said, "Ach nege Hashem Shilu." There's still hope for his savior, for his king, to remain the king.
He was davening that for Shaul again. Learn from Moshe. Don't give up.
Yeah, yeah. So the next pasuk reads then, according to the Malbim, pasuk Zayin. He said, "Al tabet al mareyu." Hashem says, "Don't look at his the way that he looks and his height." Kimastiu, meaning Shaul. Don't look at Shaul's height and Shaul's image, because I have rejected him. Ki lo asher yireh ha'adam, because I don't see as man sees, because man sees with his eyes, and I see deep down into the heart. We sometimes have the word lev and sometimes levav. So why are there two vases? So I think there it gets interpreted in different ways in different contexts. Sometimes it means with both the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. That's Rashi on the pasuk Alev Avecha by Shema. It also could mean like the I think Rav Hirsch says this. I'm sure others say it, like the deepest, deep down, you know, into the heart, the depths of the heart. So you know, Beis is in Lashon HaKodesh means inside. So with one vase, you're a little bit into the heart. With two vases, you're deep into the heart. So Hashem is saying, I see deep down, and I know that Shaul is not fit to be the king. Okay. Pasuk Ches. Vayikra Yishai El Avinadav. Vayavireyu Lifnei Shmuel. So now, if it's not going to be Eliyav, so he calls to the second son. And Yishai called to Avinadav, Vayavireyu Lifnei Shmuel, and he called him before Shmuel. Vayomer, and he said, Gam bozeh lobachar Hashem. So here we have that language. He says, Hashem also has not chosen this son, Avinadav. Vayaver Yishai Shama. And now he brings the next son, whose name was Shama, and he passed him before Shmuel. Vayomer, and he said, Gam bozeh lobachar Hashem. Hashem also has not chosen him. Vayaver Yishai Shivas banav lifnei Shmuel. And Yishai brought before Shmuel all seven of his sons, or at least seven out of eight. Vayomer Shmuel al Yishai, and Shmuel said to Yishai, Lavachar Hashem bo'ele, Hashem hasn't chosen any of these sons. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Okay, very nice. So Vayaver Yishai, fine, we did that. Yud Aleph, Pasuk, verse 11. Vayomer Shmuel El Yishai, and Shmuel said to Yishai, Hatamu Hane'arim. Have all the sons, the lads, passed? Is this it? Rhetorically, seemingly, he knew that there must be at least another one, because Hashem hadn't told him yet who was to be anointed. Vayomer, and he said, Od Sha'ar HaKatan. The youngest is left. And Sha'ar actually is a verb. He's left himself. He was very humble, seemingly. And he remained outside. He didn't come. He didn't expect that it would be him. Vinei roe batzon, and he's like all great leaders of Klal Yisrael. He is shepherding the sheep. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai, and Shmuel said to Yishai, Shilcha v'kachenu, send to him and bring him here. Ki lo naso vat bo'opo. Because we will not sit down to eat our mesiba until he comes here. Vayishlach, pasuk yudbeis, and he sent. Vayivieyu, and he brought him. Behu admoni, and he was a redhead. Im yefei einayim, betovroi, he had nice eyes. He was good looking.
That's the same way that Esav is also referred
yeah.
to that moment.
Yeah.
But in this case, I guess it's a bit good.
We'll get to that in a minute. Right. We'll get to that in a minute. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Kum Mishacheyu Kizehu. Get up and anoint him, because this is the one. This is the next king of Klal Yisrael. So, okay, good. So you pointed out that Esav was also an Anmoni. So the Malbim says this is where we really get to the point that Hashem was telling him before, that Ki lo asher yireh ha'adam la'inayim v'ashem yireh la'levav. Right? Ki adam yireh la'inayim. A person sees with their eyes. They just see the facade. They see what's on top. And Hashem sees into the heart. Because David was Admoni, he was red, he was a redhead. And the Gemara says that, Chazal say, that somebody who is red has a teva, naturally leans towards spilling blood, shvichus damim. So, on the other hand, the Malbim says he had other good characteristics, like Yifei Naim V'Tov Roi. He had nice eyes and he was good looking, but like in a way that you
know. Does that imply like light eyes, Yifei Naim, or just beautiful eyes? Like,
I think beautiful.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So the Malbim says this shows he's a balanced person. He's so. Now, had it been left up to Shmuel, right, to man, human intellect, to make the decision of whether this person should be king, says the Malbim, he wouldn't have selected him. But Hashem sees to the heart, and he saw that this is a person who would deliver and to be just and kind, and he would use his urge for blood spilling, his that teva, that nature, for to fight the wars of Hashem and to destroy the sinners. And that was desire in the eyes of Hashem. And he quotes the Chazal say that when Shmuel, Kivan Shirah, Shmuel is David, when Shmuel saw David and he saw that he was Admoni, he was afraid. He said, "Zeh shofich damim ke'esav." He said, like Jared said, he's gonna spill blood like Esav. Amar le'akadosh baruch hu im yefei einayim. Hashem said, "No, he also has nice eyes. He meaning he's balanced. He sees straight." Esav used his midah for himself, but he acting on his own actually. Zeh midas sanhedrin horig. David HaMelech will kill based on the word of the Sanhedrin, not on his own whim. So you should anoint him. So the Medrash says on that, anoint him because he is this. What does that mean? He's this way in this world, and he's this to the next world. What does that mean? Malbim explains what he meant was that even though he's in Olam Hazeh, and he seems to have midos that are gonna, you know, pull him towards Olam Hazeh, but still with his balance and his bechira and his clarity of decisions, so he's going to choose Olam Haba, and he's going to choose a righteous path, and therefore this is the one who is right to be the king. The Vilna Gaon, the Gra, in his Perusha Mishle, he writes that on the pasuk Chanoch Lanar Al Pi Darko, you should educate the lad based on his way. Even when he gets older, it won't leave him. So Vilna Gaon interprets this pasuk in an amazing way. The idea is that you can't change a person's nature. All you can do is channel it for good. So he says, Inyan, Kia Adam Yevshulo Lishbor Darko. A person can't break his path. He can't change himself, meaning his mazel. A person has a mazel. He's born with certain character traits, natios, leaning, certain tendencies. Thank you. And, right, as the Gemara brings different examples of this, he says, What is a person's choice is what to do with those tendencies, what to do with those character traits. And he can choose whether to be a tzaddik or a rasha or a beinoni. So, for example, the Gemara says, "Hi, man." It's funny, we're learning, last week we learned about mazalos in Rosh Hashanah on the same page. So, so here we have, I got into the topic of mazalos a bit in there also. So now here we are again. "Hi, man, dibimadim, yehe gavar ashech dama." The Gemara says that if you're born in the mazal madim, which means red, whatever mazel that is, so that person will be a blood spiller. What? It's Mars? Okay, yeah. Okay. So Amar of Ashi, Rav Ashi says, well, there's options, right? You don't have to be a murderer. You could be an umna, you could be a bloodletter, or nowadays we'd say like a surgeon. Or he could be a ganav, he could be a bandit and kill people. He could be a butcher, or he could be a moel and spill blood. There's different ways to channel that midah. The Vilna Gaon points out that it's mentioning three different levels of how a person can channel it. Either, and we can use our bechira, either we can be a moel. A person can take that midah and be a moel, and that's channeling it to be a tzaddik for a mitzvah. Or they could be a butcher, and that's a beinoni. It's not a mitzvah to be a butcher. Maybe when you do shlita, you make a bracha, maybe. But to be a butcher is not a mitzvah. That's a beinoni. You could be a beinoni with your midah. Or you could be a murderous bandit, and you could be a rasha. So you have a midah, and you can apply it in any way. Tzaddik, rasha, or beinoni, or an average. The Gemara says that Shaul had one major sin, and David had two. And even still, Shaul lost the kingship as a result, and David HaMelech didn't. So the Vilna Gaon says, why? Why is it that David had more averus, more big averus than Shaul? Why is it that David held on to the kingship? So he says, because by David it says that he was Admoni. He was red. He was born in Madim. He was born in under the mazel of Mars. And therefore he had a tendency towards spilling of blood. And that's why Shmuel doubted him at first. And what happened? He overcame his midah. He channeled his midah to the right direction. And even though there were two situations where he made a mistake, but still, overall, he was successful in overcoming his midah. And he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, and it's usually understood differently, the Gemara says, "Kol ha-mavir al midosav, mavirin lo al pshav." The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that if a person is mavir al midosav, what this is normally interpreted to mean is it means a person lets things by. He lets things slide. He's not so makbid on things. So then Hashem won't be so makbid on his averos. The Gra is saying a different pshat in that Gemara. The Gra is saying, you know what mavir al midosav means? It means to pass over your midos, meaning to overcome your tendencies, to overcome your ingrained midos, and to be able to channel them litova, to be able to channel them for righteousness. And And therefore, David was Mavir al Midosav. He overcame his Midah. And therefore, Mavir in Loa Kopshav. Therefore, Hashem let his Avero slide. As opposed to Shaul. Shaul had the Midah of humility, but he misdirected that Midah. He messed it up. And therefore, even Wang Avera, that was it. Because he didn't have this bracha of Kolam Mavir al Midosav, a person who overcomes their Midos, Hashem overlooks their Averas.
So it's implying that David had a bad Midah, and he overcame it, and Shaul had a good Midah, and he misused it.
That's what it seems.
It's also the same, isn't there, opinion that the difference between Shaul and David was David admitted his mistake, and Shaul, when he was confronted, was anointed.
Right, yeah. Okay. Now, one more point that we should bring up. So, the we mentioned that originally, Hashem didn't tell Shmuel who he was going to anoint. He just said it's going to be one of Yishai's sons. And then he kind of has to go through this whole process to, you know, like one son goes in front of him, Hashem says, no, it's not that one, and then another. So what's going on here? What's the point of this exercise? So the Medrash says, and we learned this a while back in, where was it? Back in Perek Tes. So, here it is. In Perek Tes, chapter 9, Pasuk Yud Tes. So Shaul is going, he lost his donkeys, and he's going to find Shmuel Hanavi, and he comes upon the city, and he asks, he sees a man coming out, he doesn't realize it's Shmuel, he says, where's the house of the Roeh? Where's the house of the seer? And Shmuel says, Vayan Shmuel Ashal Vayomer Anochi Haroeh. I am the Roeh. I am the seer. So Rashi there tells us, I believe. Actually, I'm not sure. I thought it was here, but Shmuel said, you know, I'm the seer, and he was found lacking for that, for saying that. So Hashem said that one day you're going to not be able to see, you're not going to know, and that's what happened by David HaMelech, where when came time to anoint David, he did not know who he was going to be anointing. Hashem put him through that as somewhat of a punishment for this. Yeah, the Radak, I think, mentions it there. Okay, anyways, that's what happened over there. So over here, he has to go through this whole process as somewhat of a punishment for that moment of call it a little bit, tiny bit of gaiva. The Brisker Rav has an idea that there were two levels of selection for king. There was a bechira, a choice for that, of choosing from the sons of Yishai, and then there was another level of choosing David. So he says, that's why it says in Divrei Hayamim, it says, Ki b'Yehuda bachar l'nagid, u'b'beis Yehuda beis avi, u'b'vnei avi bi. It says that Hashem chose to have a king from Yehuda. That we know already, that's happened by Yaakov already. And in beis Yehuda, beis avi, and from Yehuda, this is in Divrei Hayamim, it seems to be David HaMelech talking. He says, Hashem chose the king would be from Yehuda. And from Yehuda, he chose the house of my father. And from the house of my father, he chose me. So there seems to be, like, these different levels. The king has to be from Yehuda. And then there's a selection. It's going to be from the house of Yishai. And only then, afterwards, is there a choice that it's going to be David HaMelech. And that's why, originally, Hashem just said, I see among the sons of Yishai a king. And that was the choice, choosing the house of Yishai. And that also fits well, he says, into the Gemara that we talked about, that originally it was going to be someone else. It was going to be Eliyav originally. And because originally it was a choice from the house of Yishai. Eliyav was the first choice. Then he got rejected in the end. And eventually it was David HaMelech that was chosen. He mentions other psukim that imply this. It says in Shmuel Beis, Parak Chaf, it says, "Ein lanu chelek b'David, v'lo nachal lanu b'ven Yishai." We don't have a portion in David. These are people who are rebelling against David. They say, we have no interest in David, and no interest in Ben Yishai, the son of Yishai. As if what are they saying? So there seems to be these two levels of the choice of king. So the full significance of this, I'm not 100% sure why that's, you know, what the impact of that is, but it's an interesting thing that you see emerge from the Psukim and from the Gemara. Are you sure? Do you have a thought? No. Okay.
Repeat that. I wasn't positive. Repeat that last part that you said before. A sense ago about rejecting the sons.
That originally it was supposed to be Eliyav.
Yeah.
So you see that it wasn't the. You see this idea that it was going to be one of the sons of Yishai, and then it was decided which one. And first it was Eliyav, and then it was David. But you have this idea that the king has to come from Yehuda, right? And then there's a second. Hashem says the king is going to be from the sons of Yishai. It's like an additional level. And then the next level, the choice of which of the sons is chosen. Yeah, I don't know what the significance of this is, but you see it emerge.
Maybe because David wasn't considered. You know, he was like the outcast.
He wasn't a shoo-in.
Yeah, not only was he, it was like the outcast, they considered him even, you know, sort of like not part of the family because
right.
of the circumstances of his birth.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, they didn't want to associate with him. Yeah. I mean, at this point, yeah, there still was a whole incident with where Yishai, you know, divorced the mother. The Shifra, switched places. So they considered him, you know, that's why he wasn't there to begin with.
Uh-huh. So you're saying, and this showed that really he did belong?
Yeah.
And by saying it has to be Ben Yishai and then saying it's David, so that showed that he really did belong.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Didn't say that anyway.
Right. Okay, let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayikach Shmuel as Karen Hashemen. And Shmuel took the Karen, the horn of oil, Vayimshach oso bekerev echav, and he anointed him amongst his brothers. Vatitzlach ruach Hashem el David, and the spirit of Hashem passed to David. Me'ayomahu v'mala, from that day and onwards. Vayokum Shmuel vayelcha Ramasa, and Shmuel got up and he went back to Ramah. So there's two ways to understand what it means vayimshach oso bekerev echav. Some mefarshim say that it means he anointed him in front of all the brothers. There are those who learn, though, that he was anointed in secret. I don't know if they didn't know what was going on the whole time somehow when Shmuel was there, and if he was, you know, he keeps saying, oh, you know, Hashem didn't choose this one. I don't know if they knew what was going on, if he was talking to them, or even if he was, if they understood what he was saying. So it's not clear if they knew what was going on. There are some mefarshim who say that he anointed David in secret. So what does it mean, bekerev echav, which sounds like, you know, in the close proximity of his brothers? It means from amongst them. Of all the brothers, he anointed David. But not that he did it in front of them and they knew about it. So again, some of Farshim say he knew it was in front of them, he knew about it, and they knew about it, and some say that they didn't.
If it was from among them, then wouldn't it be like metov? Echav? Like,
well, bekerev means like in from the word karov, like
close.
Within, yeah. In, amongst. And then it says that the spirit of Hashem passed to David. So there's some mefarshim who ask, why does it say to David? It should say on David. And the spirit of Hashem passed on David. Why does it say to? Good. Because the next pasuk, we're going to see that there was a ruach Hashem that left Shaul. So they say that it left Shaul and it transferred to David. And that's why it says that it went to David. All right, we're going to hold here.
I always wonder, what is this ruach, God, that came from Shaul?